Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
We're just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Awesome. Welcome to our first podcast, everyone. I know all three of you are very excited about this.
Two of you are our spouses.
Woo! And some other random person who found us on Instagram.
No, it's just one of our friends, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so
you may be wondering what this is.
Why you're listening to this? Well, that's a question I can't answer. But why we're making this?
Yes.
And I don't think that's a question I can answer either.
No, we can't. But we'll tell you a little bit about us so you know who you're listening to for the next some odd minutes.
However long it takes until we get tired of talking about this.
Correct. All right. Well, I'm Jillian, and my co-host is
Anna.
And we've been friends for like 7-ish years. Mm-hmm. We met 7-ish years ago, and here we are. I am currently located in St. Louis, Missouri.
And I'm in Tempe, Arizona.
Armpit of America.
Boy, howdy.
But we forgive her.
Listen.
So this podcast is going to be about women's soccer, because there isn't enough about it in the world.
And we love it a lot. A lot.
Yes. So I know, at least personally, I have loved soccer my whole life. Started playing when I was 4 years old. I've been a longtime fan of our U.S. women's national team. Obviously, they're dope as hell. Grew up on Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain. And now I currently am, of course, a U.S. women's national team fan still, but I love the Portland Thorns. And Anna tells me I should like Arsenal, but I haven't decided yet.
You should always like Arsenal. It's just the rules. Even though there are no U.S. players on Arsenal, they have other fantastic players. So yes, I am also a Portland Thorns fan, U.S. women's national team fan. I started playing soccer a little bit older than four. I think I was maybe 8 or something. I don't know. I was a kid. And I have loved soccer since then. U.S. women's national team fan, obviously. Also Portland Thorns, as I mentioned. Arsenal, not just Arsenal women, but also the men, which is not what we're here to talk about. I don't have a W League team, though I am open to options. I love Australian teams. They're all wonderful. But yeah, so our alignments are pretty similar, which means you will hear us talk probably more about the Thorns than you wanted, but we're going to do it. Same with the U.S. Women's National Team. We're going to talk about them a lot, probably. And you started to listen to this, so you just got to deal with it.
It's on you. We are in no way, disclaimer, we are in no way claiming to be impartial here. But we're still going to talk about all the teams. There are still great players on every team. And we're here to just drum up some excitement about women's soccer. We just want everyone else to feel as passionate about these dope-ass ladies playing soccer.
Dope-ass people, because not everybody.
Yes, dope-ass people.
Not everybody who plays in the NWSL identifies as a woman, and that's wonderful.
Yes.
We love that
too. Mm-hmm. So, this is a little bit about our structure, what we're going to be doing each week. So, this podcast is called Hat Picks, which is play on hat tricks. So, Anna and I are each week, and by that I mean every other week probably, we're going to be talking about our top three things that happened in women's soccer over the course of that time period. And then we'll talk about some other kind of hot topic in soccer, something else that we think is exciting that we want to share with people.
Yeah, we want to talk about different topics in soccer. So talking about things like gender identity in soccer, in the different leagues, talking about maybe the impartiality of calls based on race, talk about, I don't know, just delving into topics that are not as focused on, particularly because there's always so many things going on. There's always a friendly, there's always a league going, there's always something happening. And so we are generally so focused on the coverage of those kind of things that we don't stop and interrogate things a little bit further. So while we're going to have so much fun picking our hat picks every week. We also want to talk about these kind of things sometimes too.
And we are excited to hopefully bring people onto the show, not just fans, but like maybe people who are interested in soccer, but maybe don't have a place to start. So some other things that we're going to be doing is just kind of explaining a little bit about soccer. You know, we don't want this to be an esoteric podcast. We want this to be accessible so that people who want to get into women's soccer, soccer in general, kind of have a place to go. So we might explain something like offsides or XYZ about how soccer works. So we're hopefully going to be bringing more people into the fold as we do this.
More people who love women's soccer. We need more.
Yeah. Yes, we do. It's excellent. So we're really excited about this. We're excited to bring this to you. And hopefully by the next time we record, we'll have 4 listeners.
Oh my God, go crazy.
Yes. All right.
Can you even imagine?
Well, I can't. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it. It's really just going to be Anna and me laughing at each other from across the country. And it's going to be great. And you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm trying real hard not to constantly laugh. It's a lot of work because that's that's the biggest part of Jillian and my friendship is watching Pretty Little Liars and laughing about that. And just making fun of each other and laughing about that, or saying something incredibly stupid and laughing about that.
It's really so great. And our Pretty Little Liars podcast will be coming in 2022.
After we rewatch the entire series and try to discover if what we watched was a fever dream or if we're in a fever dream, we're still unclear.
And it's going to take us that long to get the podcast started because it's going to take us that long to rewatch the series because it's so terrible.
Buck wild.
Aren't you guys glad you're here? Because I am. All right. So who is ready to talk about some hat picks from the last couple of weeks? Right now, we are in the midst of the NWSL Fall Series. We're about to wrap that up. I think most teams either have played all their games, like the Washington Spirit, or have two or a single game left to go in this series. So we're going to be talking about that. Maybe toss in some international play from across the sea.
Hell yeah, WSL.
Yes. So I'm going to kick it over to Anna to hit us up with that first hat pick.
Okay, so we're starting at 3 and then like getting to the number 1 because, you know, you got to build suspense or whatever. Okay, so my number 3 is Ashlyn Harris, just as a keeper. She is, I mean, first of all, we know she's top notch. She's been as a keeper on the U.S. Women's National Team for years. However, when she's with the Orlando Pride, it is like next level goalkeeping because, and this is not to throw any sort of shade or hate towards the rest of that team because that back line does work their little tushies off too. And I deeply respect them. I love Allie Krieger. Have always loved Allie Krieger. Will always love Allie Krieger.
So does Ashlyn Harris.
Boy, howdy. Love it. But Ashlyn Harris just has to work so hard that particularly against the game with Houston, she was the star of the game. I mean, I know that they didn't win that game. I'm really sorry, Orlando Pride. Houston kind of crushed you. But my good God, she had to work twice as hard as everybody else on that pitch. And again, I'm sorry, the rest of the team, you all worked so hard. You did so good. But my good God, Ashlyn Harris, I mean, not only did she have to like give up her body, particularly, I don't know if you've seen her Instagram or her social media in general, she asked where her kneecap was because it got demolished in that game. So not only was she like really, really putting her body on the line for that game more than I've seen in a while. And I think she was just like really into it and she got so passionate that she had to. But she was commanding that back line the way a goalkeeper should. And she just really put in that work and it was a really fun thing to watch, but also really hard to watch as somebody who wants to see them succeed. But I think that she deserves constant and more recognition than she is getting as the keeper for that team.
Definitely. She is acrobatic excellent, excellent work. And she does a good job of commanding the field, too. And just telling people where they need to be. And I applaud that hat pick.
Also, just as if I was in my 30s, which I'm not yet, soon, but not yet, and throwing my body like that, I would never be able to get back up. I mean, I know that this is what she does, and so she's in the condition for it, but good Lord.
Nope. Nope. Thank you so much for that, Anna. Great number three.
What's your number three, Jillian?
All right. Well, I will tell you. So my number three for this week is just Simone Charlie. So Simone Charlie plays for the Portland Thorns forward. 25 years old out of Vanderbilt. She was great. This whole month, essentially, this whole past fall series, she has been amazing. So back against Utah, she had a great, great goal. But something I've been noticing about her is just her consistency and her follow through. She is so good about like continuing to chase the ball. I just see a lot of players up front. Typically, after a while, they just slow down and they don't continue to challenge that back line after the ball has been given back to the other team. And she does not let up. And I love to see that because it forces the defenders to think on their feet and to do something more. And I just really appreciate that in a player. She's had a couple of great assists. She had an excellent assist the other night against OL Reign to Rocky Rodriguez. I think we might hear a little bit about that later. But
I don't know who you'd hear that from.
So good. And then no idea. And she had another great assist, just a mess, a cluster happening in the box, but she manages to get an assist to Christine Sinclair for the tying goal in the Portland versus Utah game. Actually, that happened last night, October 3rd. So I think she has great foot skills. She has great energy. And something that I keep hearing announcers say is that she is a track star, which is true. She literally was a track star at Vanderbilt. Go Commodores. However, I do not think that she just needs to be reduced to that. And we need to be really careful about when we say that and reduce Black players to just being fast, because she brings so much else to the table. And I think she needs to be recognized for that. She does have speed. She has so much speed, but that is not the only thing that she brings to that Portland Thorns team. And I just think that she has been on fire these last games. I love to see it. So that's my number three.
We love a consistent and persistent player. Particularly for the team that we both enjoy a lot.
Yes, definitely. I also can't see it because this is not a video, but I'm wearing a Portland Thorns hat. Is the hat that I picked for today. So that's another one of my hat picks.
I should have put my Portland Thorns hat on. I did not, because I did not think that far ahead. And also, it's not even 9 a.m. here for me. You are well into your day.
It's much earlier.
So I'm not there yet. Okay. So I'm going to move on to my number two, which for me is the Canadian national team, also known as the Houston Dash. Sophie Schmidt, Nichelle Prince, Alicia Chapman. It's just a great team. And I think that you could see it in the Challenge Cup, but particularly since the Challenge Cup, even with Rachel Daly going over to West Ham, that team has really, really come together, particularly at the leadership of Sophie Schmidt, who is a veteran player, not just in the NWSL, but also with the Canadian national team. They've really come together and recognized within themselves as individual players, but also as a team, that they're fully capable of doing the damn thing and winning and being successful as a team. And it has only gotten better. And I think that it's only going to continue to get better as long as they maintain this mentality of, as long as we are doing this together, we can win. Their passing has gotten better. Their clearances have gotten better. Overall, their morale obviously has gotten better. I mean, winning a championship will do that to you. And I think that they can only go up from there. Again, going back to that Houston versus Orlando game, goals from two of those lovely Canadians, Nichelle Prince and Sophie Schmidt. Sophie Schmidt buried the penalty that she got. I'm really sorry, Ashlyn Harris, but it was a really good penalty kick. And then Shea Groom, we were talking about Shea Groom last week. She's just getting better. Once she clicks in with the team, she's unstoppable. It's amazing. I mean, she was really great with Kansas City. She was super well utilized there. And then she, you know, obviously Kansas City, made that team rest in peace. You know, they shut down and she moved teams, and then she wasn't utilized in the way that I think she could have been for a while. And now at Houston, she's thriving, and we love to see it.
She's like a GD gazelle out there. Also, fun fact, her sister played for they are from Missouri, so little locals here, West Missouri, but it's fine. We forgive them. But her sister played for the Washington University Ultimate Frisbee team, and now I think is a pro Frisbee player, so there's like a lot of athleticism in that family.
I didn't even know you could be a pro Frisbee player. That's incredible.
They do have professional Ultimate Frisbee. That is another podcast that my husband will be running. Yeah. I'm just going to back up everything you're saying. I've been seeing so much good stuff from the Houston Dash lately. I mean, the Challenge Cup. I mean, honestly, going in, I half expected them to be one of the bottom teams, which was, unfortunately, the Portland Thorns for a while. even though they did kick North Carolina's butt. But, I mean, they really came together, really meshed. And I also have to shout out Sophie Schmidt's goal from way out when they were down a player against North Carolina. Just beautiful. So I just wanted to toss that in the mix because it was great. I mean, we already talked about Sophie Schmidt. That's a mouthful, but
yeah, it's a lot of S's. Beautiful. That had to have been rough as a kid. Sophie Schmidt. And even though we are U.S. Women's National Team players, and our biggest rivalry is Canada, and our most physical rivalry is Canada, we can still appreciate the Canadian players. There's no hate. We like them. They're fine.
No, absolutely not. We love it. Except if we're going to pick our U.S. Women's National Team people if it comes down to like a head-to-head game. But obviously. Real, recognized, real.
I don't know if we can consider ourselves real, though.
Not yet, but we're getting there. All right, so for my number, I have got Savannah McCaskill and her dope goal against the Washington Spirit back on September 26th. So good. I am loving Savannah McCaskill. She's not somebody that I really paid much attention to before the Challenge Cup, but I've been seeing some really, really good stuff from her, really good opportunities. This goal was one of them. She had also a lot of good things happening in that game, a lot of good things happening in other games. But, you know, 24 years old, out of South Carolina, go Gamecocks, which is a weird mascot. but, you know, she used to – I didn't actually know this, but she used to play for Sky Blue, didn't make very many appearances, and also played in the W League for a little while for Sydney FC. And then got picked up by the Chicago Red Stars back in 2019. And I think she has been a real asset to that team ever since then. You know, she brings skill and speed that you just like would not expect. She just like comes out of nowhere, like literally in this goal. You can see her on screen just like running, speeding to meet this goal. Lubert, I forget who exactly crossed it to her, but gets this cross ball and just slams it into the back of the net. I mean, she collides with a goalie in the process, but brings so much energy. She is a tank, a powerhouse. And I think that she brings a lot to that front line. I'm really impressed with her, and I was really impressed with that goal. She does not give up. She does not give up ever. So I'm really excited to see what comes of her. You know, of course, always room to grow, any player, even the best, but like, except maybe Christine Sinclair. she might be just amazing all the time. But yeah, I'm really down with Savannah McCaskill going from 0 to 100 and getting that beautiful goal against the Spirit.
I think part of the reason why we haven't been as focused on what Savannah McCaskill could do until the Challenge Cup is because before the Challenge Cup, the Chicago Red Stars still had Sam Kerr. Oh, Sam Kerr was up top, and she was the one, and not without reason, she was the one who was getting the attention. She's an incredible player. She's doing wonderful things with Chelsea. And I think that's part of the reason why we didn't notice Savannah McCaskill. I mean, one of the most notable things that happened with Savannah McCaskill and Sam Kerr was Savannah McCaskill passed a ball. It wasn't where Sam Kerr wanted it or thought it should have been. Savannah McCaskill may or may not have been a little dismissive. And Sam Kerr got kind of angry. It's a thing. I watched it. It was uncomfortable. Didn't know how to react. But it happened. But we were so much more focused as a, you know, a collective group of people on Sam Kerr because she was the bigger name. And she was the player who was scoring more goals. You always notice the players who are scoring more goals versus the players who are giving the assists. I mean, that's just, they're the one whose name gets yelled when the goal goes in. It's not the person who delivered the ball to them or serviced the ball in like the perfect spot. We don't hear that name getting yelled. So I think now that they don't have Sam Kerr up top, there's more expectation from Savannah McCaskill. And so we're seeing her step up to the plate a little bit more.
Definitely. I mean, Sam Kerr is just household name. Low pony. She is incredible. She was like the, I'm pretty sure the top goal scorer for them without, I feel like no one else could possibly have had more goals than her. She is just an incredible, incredible player. I mean, they brought her up so much in the Challenge Cup, and she wasn't even there because Chicago was having to restructure and rebuild a little bit without having their star player. And I mean, they did well in the Challenge Cup, got to the championship game. They did end up losing, but I still think that they had a solid tournament. And I think while they still have room to grow as they're restructuring and kind of building the strength of these new players, I think Savannah McCaskill is definitely going to be one to watch for sure. So that's my number two.
For sure. I'm a Chicago Red Stars fan. I mean, they're not like my team, but I'm a fan. Speaking of my team, my number one hot pick from the Portland OL Reign game on the 30th is Rocky Rodriguez's goal. I mean, holy cow. That was just perfection. First of
chef's
all,
chef's kiss.
So good. Not only was that her first goal as a Thorn, so in Providence Park, no less. I mean, it's unfortunate that we couldn't have the fans there, but first goal in Providence Park, she got to have the smoke. It was also just so beautiful. I mean, the service from Charlie, yes. just right there, right at where Rocky was. And then Rocky hammered that into the top corner. I mean, I can't.
On a volley from the penalty spot. It was amazing.
It was just so, I mean, visually beautiful, technically stunning. I mean, that box was crowded. That box was crowded because we were all expecting a service. And the fact that not only did Charlie managed to get that ball right where it needed to be, but then Rocky Rodriguez slammed it so hard. I don't have words because it was so beautiful. I love Rocky Rodriguez. We love a Latinx queen. I can't. So good. Big fan. Huge.
It was so, so gorgeous to watch. I mean, just like a quick turn. Boom. I mean, you just like almost can't believe it when you watch it. Like, it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful goal.
Yeah, I could talk about it with not very good words for a very long time because it was just so good. And I think that what made it just all the more fun was not only the fact that it was Rocky's first goal, was the rest of her team was so excited for her to get her first goal. And when you see a team that's that excited about things for their teammates, you know that they have that kind of relationship together that they could go the distance for whatever tournament or cup or fall, whatever it is. When you have that kind of excitement, like you're so proud of your teammate, you're so happy for them, that kind of mentality is super, not just like healthy as a team and in a team environment, but it's super productive. Like you move forward quicker. So yeah, it was great.
And I think we're seeing a lot of that from the Thorns. I mean, I think we're seeing it from a lot of other teams too, but like this in particular, Because I think there has been a lot of pressure on the Thorns this year. Like I said earlier, they did not really perform all that well in the Challenge Cup. But they also have the number one and number two draft picks, and they have Rocky Rodriguez, all-time leading goal scorer for Costa Rica. I mean, she is – I mean, I think the pressure is really on them. I think there's a lot of eyes on them because they have these new drafts, these new trades that are supposed to really, really perform. And, you know, I think you see back, I think on the 20th maybe, that game versus Utah where Portland just kind of like slammed Utah 3-0. And Sophia Smith like gets her first goal. And I mean, you see everybody just like so, so excited for her because the pressure has to be on. As, you know, getting that first pick trade for Emily Sonnet, like from the Orlando Pride, that's a lot of pressure on you. And I think there's been a lot of pressure on Rocky Rodriguez as well. Even Morgan Weaver, the number two draft pick, who she got a really great goal, that winning goal against North Carolina to kick them out back in the Challenge Cup. You know, so I think the fact that Portland is rallying around these people who are under so much pressure and just continuing to love and support them and lift them up in these moments and celebrating, celebrating them not just as individual victories, but team victories. And that's like really, really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not to say that other teams don't do that, but with a team that there's a lot of newer players that have only been playing together since the Challenge Cup on that team, and to see how much those relationships have strengthened since that time, particularly because we are in this weird vortex of 2020 with quarantine, and particularly with their the way that the Portland Thorns have continued to address social justice issues, I think has been a way for them to really form a closer bond, because it seems with that team that there's no question about particularly social justice. There's no question about it. It is, they all stand together, full stop. That is what they do. And because they're all on that page together, it strengthens them on the pitch. And so the fact that we're seeing it in celebrations with goals with Rocky Rodriguez, with Sophia Smith, I think it's great. And I love it a lot.
And I think you have to note too, the loss of Tobin Heath, and how they're still managing to be such like a strong, cohesive team, which I think we're seeing more of that strength and cohesiveness in this fall series. I mean, Tobin Heath is literally one of the greatest players in the world, literally wearing her jersey right now. And I think that that has also taken some like recalibration for that team. And so to see them like really in this fall series come together, not only to support each other, but to be a cohesive team that's meshing well on the field, definitely needs to be applauded.
For sure. I mean, they also have the GOAT, so I'm sure that doesn't help. I mean,
yes.
Christine Sinclair, still unstoppable.
Love and her. Speaking of Tobin Heath, and before I get to my number one hat pick, I believe we have an honorable mention for a hat pick this week. So, Anna, why don't you hit us up with that
honorable mention? My honorable mention that I really couldn't leave out because I'm such a huge fan of these two players. And I mean, really, who in the freaking United States who watches women's soccer isn't? But today, both Tobin Heath and Kristen Press had their first time on the pitch with Man United women. And I mean, they didn't start. Their time will come. They're new players. I get it. But they both got subbed in. And of course, Tobin Heath cannot be on the pitch without making her mark. And she got her first assist in that game. That happened. I'm just going to remind all you four listeners, three listeners, let's not get ahead of ourselves. In Tempe, those games are on at 4 a.m. And I did the work to watch that game. Most of it. I tried. It was early, all right? But Tobin Heath got the assist. It was beautiful. I will be waking up at 4 more often to watch more of those games. But that is definitely an honorable mention. It's really... And, you know, all of our American players who are over in England right now playing, Sam Mewis and Rose Lavelle had a really great game against Man City, or with Man City, this past week. They beat Arsenal, which we won't talk about, but they're playing really well. I can't wait to see Alex Morgan with Tottenham. If we do, they had a game today and she wasn't playing. So that'll be interesting to see. But it's really nice to see these players in a different environment that is a different kind of challenge, and the fact that they're thriving. It is wonderful. And international players in England are my honorable mention this week.
And I think it's important to note that a lot of these players, some of them didn't play in the Challenge Cup, like Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, and some of them did, like Rose Lavelle and Sam Mewis. But a lot of these players had like already signed up to go overseas before it was announced that there was going to be a fall series for the NWSL. And I think with the state of the coronavirus in the United States, these players really just want an opportunity to play in a season. And so I don't think it's any kind of like reflection specifically on the NWSL, because I think the NWSL has been handling this very well. I think that they have particularly handled the Challenge Cup and the bubble very well, but you have not seen the outbreaks like you have seen in men's sports, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. You know, they obviously have their little pods that they're playing in, like the West, the South, the Northeast, for this fall series. But you know, it's still kind of dangerous out there. Wear a mask so that we can all go to soccer games. But please. I think it's please wear a mask. But I think it's important to note that a lot of these players had already signed up to go overseas before it was announced that there was going to be this fall series. And so, and even, you know, I even think the, if like they, the rights are still here.
Yeah. And even if they hadn't signed up before the fall series, I mean, they are players who try their hardest to control their own careers. And I think mm-hmm. they have every right to say, I would like to experience a new challenge in countries that maybe are taking the, maybe taking COVID-19 a little bit more seriously. And I think that's the same way Kristen Press asked for a trade. She wanted her career to be her career. She didn't want other people and other teams to dictate that. And so now, you know, she and Tobin Heath and Samantha Mewis and Rose Lavelle and Alex Morgan and other players who have gone to play over there in the past. I mean, Crystal Dunn with Chelsea in the past. They're trying to challenge themselves in new and different ways. And I think regardless of when that happens or how that happens, I think it's ultimately valuable for them as a player, and particularly for those of us who are U.S. Women's National Team fans, that can only be more valuable on that platform.
100%. Totally agree. Cool.
Dope.
All right. Well, that time has come for my number one.
What's your number one, Jillian?
All right. Well, I hate but don't hate to bring it back to Providence Park, but I'm going to. Because honestly, folks, we could have had all six of these hat picks come from that OL Reign versus Portland game on the 30th. Oh my God,
could we?
It was incredible. I mean, Portland in rare fine form. I mean, it was such an excellent game. You have a hat trick from Sinclair, Rocky Rodriguez's incredible goal. I mean, it was just great, but I'm going to have to select. I think it is actually the first goal of the game, but you have this beautiful, gorgeous, mwah, chef's kiss of an assist from Lindsay Horan, who makes a great run up the field and then perfectly slots it to Christine Sinclair for an amazing, amazing goal. You know, these are both literally some of the best players on the planet. Christine Sinclair, number one goal scorer among men or women. The GOAT. Lindsay Horan is just, she is a tank. She is a powerhouse. She is a threat no matter where she is on the field. Like, she can do damage in the back, running back there to help protect that goal for her own team. She can, you know, she runs the midfield and can do well. And she can, you know, she can score some of the finest headers you've ever seen. But she also just knows how to get balls to people, to set people up for success. And she did that multiple times in this game. I will note that there were two Horan Sinclair goals, but this one was just so beautiful. I mean, she hit it with such speed and such precision. I just love it. And then, you know, Sinclair, who is 37, and you would not know it. She has not slowed down. She's great. There's really, I mean, we could talk on a whole podcast about how great Christine Sinclair is. But she just brings this level of calm to that front line. Like, right. Well, you know, no one's perfect. But I think in general, she She is a calm, consistent player, but she's fierce. And she knows what to do with the ball. You know, I mean, had the tying goal against Utah last night in a very tough and long game. So that it was just, you know, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, you go on the NWSL Facebook page. They have all the highlights from all the games. Check it out. But, you know, at the same time, like, these are two incredible veteran players. I mean, Lindsay Horan, who played for Paris Saint-Germain for 4 years, like, 2012 to 2016, comes into the Portland Thorns team in 2016 and has been with them since. Christine Sinclair since the inaugural season in 2013. I mean, these are players that this team has come to depend on, and they deliver every time. And that is my number one, because they are amazing.
They're incredible. And I think that Horan has really stepped up in terms of service, particularly because Tobin Heath is a winger for that team. And she was delivering a lot of service into the center, particularly some of those gorgeous header goals that we would see from Horan would come from Tobin Heath. And without that player there to be doing those kind of services, Horan was one of the players that stepped up to do that. I would say Charlie's the other, to really step up and deliver those kind of balls into the box. I mean, we still have Kling, who is still ridiculous and is still delivering those kind of balls from the wings too. But for a midfielder or a forward who are consistently staying in the final third a little bit more, I would say that they've kind of not taken the place, but stepped up to do what Tobin Heath was doing in terms of that kind of service for those assists. And I think that it has done them a wonder of good, because both of those players, Charlie and Horan, are capable of being anywhere on the pitch and then all of a sudden delivering a service into the box, forcing Claire to score those goals, for Sophia Smith to score those goals, for Rocky to score those goals. And I think we're only going to keep seeing more of that, because I think they've figured it out. They've tuned into how good they are when they do those things.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that, you know, this isn't the hat pick, but just talking more, a little bit more about Horan and, you know, watching that game against Utah that ended in a draw. It was tough. I mean, Portland played a game on Wednesday and then had to turn around and play another game on Saturday. And that is tough. That is not a lot of turnaround time. It's not a lot of recovery time. And they had a very similar starting lineup. They traded a few people in, but for the most part, you had a lot of similar players out there. And by the end of that game, I mean, Utah was really challenging at the end. And, you know, you would start to get worried. It's like, okay, they keep coming back into the box. And Lindsay Horan would shut them down. So the fact that she is able to be such a versatile player in so many different areas of the field and so dependable in all those areas, such an asset to Portland.
And I think Mark Parsons knows what to do with that. I think Mark Parsons is one of the best coaches that we have in the NWSL. And I think that he really knows how to get the best out of his players. I mean, Britt Eckerstrom, right now the backup goalie for Portland is Ongerer. Nadine Ongerer, who retired and is actually one of the goalkeeping coaches for Portland. She is the backup keeper because their other two keepers are injured. And he, as well as all the goalkeeping coaches for the Portland Thorns, are getting the best out of Britt Eckerstrom that they can right now. And I'm not saying she's a goalie that you have to like pull that out of, but she knows that
she's a third string goalie.
Yeah, she knows that she has to step up to the plate right now. And they're getting that out of her because of the coaching staff there. They're so good. Everybody there from ownership down, Merritt Paulson, takes this very seriously. And they really invest in those women and they continue to make sure that the leadership that they have there, not just coaching staff, but also the veteran players that they bring into this team, are going to bring that same kind of respect and energy. And they do it just with grace and finesse. And I love them. And yes, I am a Portland Thorns fan.
I was like, yep, this has turned into the Portland Thorns podcast. Thank you so, so much for listening to this incredible first edition of the Hat Picks podcast. We are so excited to be bringing the world of women's soccer straight to your home.
straight to your ear holes.
Yes, you could be in a car. I don't want to judge.
You can follow us on Instagram and the tweeters at HatPixPod. Same handle for everything, keeping things simple. At HatPixPod on Instagram and Twitter. If you have a question, I don't know what questions you could possibly have that you can't send to us over Instagram or Twitter. Yeah. You can email us at HatPixPod@gmail.com. Or if you really want us to talk about Pretty Little Liars more, you should let us know.
Yes, we always can do that. Got a secret. Okay, anyway. So this has been great. We're so excited about continuing to talk about this. The fall series is going to be wrapping up soon.
But don't worry, the WSL keeps going.
It does. It does.
Can't stop, won't stop.
So don't you worry. We will still be bringing all these great highlights to your ear holes. So thanks for tuning in. We will be back here in a couple of weeks. We're probably going to try to put these out every 2 weeks so that we have lots to cover, lots to choose from, lots of beautiful, beautiful moments from the pitch, the pitches. So thank you all. I am Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.